We welcome all of you to our John Huss Festival. We want to welcome the three choirs of Sturgeon Bay, Sister Bay, and Ephraim Moravian Church. We will continue our fellowship after the concert, and we're going to have a lovely time of fellowship in our fellowship hall, and we hope you can stay for that. And we ask that you please hold your applause until the end of the concert. Our call to worship is taken from Psalm 147. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God, for God is gracious, and a song of praise is fitting. Would you stand with me and turn to hymn number 391, By All Your Saints Still Striving, and we'll be inserting stanza 2A for verse 2. John Huss was born in Husinec in the Czech Republic. Husinec, I'm probably mispronouncing it, means goose town. He was born in poverty, and he aspired to the priesthood not because he was especially spiritual or religious, but because it was a very good way to live. It provided a good livelihood, he would have respect, and it was a way out of poverty. By age 30, John Huss was a phenom. He had risen to heights in the church. He was the prestigious rector of Bethlehem Chapel of Prague. And he was on his way to be famous and loved and all the things he ever wanted in life. But something happened to John Huss. He became shaken by the Holy Spirit, and by all the abuses that he saw in the church of his day. He was shaken by the immorality of his brother priests, the abuses of power. There were two men claiming the papacy, and the worst offense was the sale of indulgences, which is the forgiveness of sin for financial gain. If you could pay, you could go to heaven. So Huss began to preach against the abuses, and his preaching stirred his people but angered the authorities. So he was excommunicated. He left Bethlehem Chapel, but he began to preach in the countryside. So he was invited to present his viewpoints at the Council of Constance. And when he arrived there to plead his case for the centrality of the Bible and for justice, he was immediately arrested and jailed. At his trial, he was not asked to argue his case, but to recant, even for statements that he did not say. He was sentenced to death when he refused, and on July 6, 1415, Huss was burned at the stake as a heretic. He was singing as he died. His ashes were scattered to the four winds. His death sparked a civic and religious revolt, and his call for the church to reform itself is echoed throughout the centuries. According to the Moravian historian David Schatzneider, we continue to remember Huss every summer on July 6th, carrying on the ancient tradition of remembering saints and martyrs on the day of their death rather than on their birthday, as an act of faith that their death also marked their birth into the kingdom of heaven.
A reading from Scripture this evening, hearing from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 49, verses 1 through 7. The prophet speaks of another prophet. Listen to me, O coastlands, pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with God." And now the Lord says, "Who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, 'It is too light a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth.' Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you."
One of the pastors at the Moravian Church in Sturgeon Bay, and I'd like to, before our moment for mission, offer an invitation. In the spirit of all this great Moravian fellowship, the Sturgeon Bay congregation is celebrating its 150th anniversary this year. And on August the 19th, we are having a picnic, and all of you are invited. It's going to be at Crossroads at Big Creek, which is an educational area that many of you may be aware of down in outside of Sturgeon Bay. The attraction to this event, beyond just the good fellowship and food, is an opportunity to actually, we will be having a picnic on the grounds of the Hans Hansen House. I've been told by George Evenson of the Historical Society that it is the greatest archaeological find in Door County that has ever been made. And of course, it has roots with the Moravian Church. So please join us. And we're so grateful. We're so grateful for you from hosting this wonderful celebration of our founder, John Huss. In 2002, a student intern at the Sturgeon Bay Church, Kim Johnson Peterson, was given the responsibility of trying to form a mission opportunity for an urban mission opportunity for young people in Sturgeon Bay. One of the things that we wanted to do is to see our young people out in service, and one of the other things is that it was good for them to sometimes get up over the Brussels Hill and see the world. And so Kim worked very hard at creating the beginning of a partnership that has lasted for 10 years. The initial mission trip had 34 young people and chaperones. They slept on the floor at the parsonage at Newdorp, thank you. Don't think that was any suffering because the Newdorp parsonage is one of the Vanderbilt mansions, so they did well there that trip. But for the last 10 years, Kim had no idea what she had begun. She had begun a partnership with all kinds of churches and agencies in the greater Manhattan, in fact, all five boroughs, ranging everything from feeding at food shelters to clothing banks to helping people set up their apartments for the first time, providing food for AIDS patients, a whole gamut of things, and those partnerships have flourished. Since 2002, over 230 young people, primarily from Door County, have had the opportunity to go on this mission opportunity and serve in the New York area. The impact of this has been profound. One of the things I often have people ask me, why do you send our children off far away to learn about helping others? Well, I found that sometimes I have to take them far away to get them to be helpful back here. And that was precisely the case with that first mission trip to New York. It was subsequently following that mission trip that the group of young people who went to New York and fed the hungry, they came home and started asking very difficult questions that teenagers ask, like, you think there are people that are hungry in Door County? Well, of course not. Not in Door County. Well, we found out otherwise. And so Loaves and Fishes, which I think many of you are aware of, it is a feeding ministry both in Sturgeon Bay and here in Northern Door, was a direct result of our sending these young people to do this mission. So this evening, we want to encourage your support. We are grateful because the participation in this mission opportunities has extended far beyond just Door County young people, including youth from many other areas as well. But we're so grateful for the faithfulness that we see in our young people, the opportunity for service, and the opportunity to serve our Lord. Thank you.
you that in every age you lift people up to serve. We thank you for the young people and their chaperones that have been coming to this trip to New York City each year to learn to serve and to commit their lives to you. We ask that these offerings would help in this endeavor and would bring us closer to your justice and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please be seated. Lest we think that mission opportunities and serving Christ are just for someone else, let us hear the words of Jesus this evening as they come to us from the Gospel of Mark in chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. Jesus called the crowds with his disciples and said to them, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. We sing together with heart and voice, hymn 60 in the book of worship, Jesus Calls Us, Please Rise.
Be seated. On June 10th, John Huss wrote these words to his friends. This is in 1415, less than a month before he was executed. I write this letter to you in prison, bound with chains and expecting on the morrow the sentence of death, yet fully trusting in God that I will not swerve from his truth. What grace God has shown me. Pope John Paul II, addressing the International Symposium on John Huss in 1999, said these words, "Huss is a memorable figure for many reasons, but it is particularly his moral courage in the face of adversity and death that has made him a figure of special significance to the Czech people." Those who lose their life for my sake in the gospel will gain it. What would you have done as the flames rose? I know what I would have done as I was trying to blow them out. I would have said, sign me up, anything you want. You want me to recant? I'll recant. You want me to lie? I'll lie. I'll do whatever it takes. And he had many opportunities to do that. The state really did not want to execute him. What they wanted him to do was go away. And so if he had recanted, if he had said, I'm so sorry, everything would have been fine. He would have gone into obscurity. We would not know his name. But he would have saved his life. What would you do? I thank God that I'm not called, I hope not, to be a martyr. Most of us here are not called to be martyrs, although some think they are. But we're not really called for that. But there are times when God does call us to lose our lives for his sake and the gospel. And by that we mean to put our own thoughts and our own needs and our own feelings of righteousness to the side so that we can work for the kingdom of God. John Huss lost his life, but what did he gain? The gospel gained. John Huss is remembered for justice. John Huss is a reminder that any power we have is to be used to serve. And mostly, John Huss reminds us all in the 21st century to live what we preach. Those who lose their life, those who lose their self-interests, those who lose their own needs for my sake in the gospel will save it. Amen. It's okay to clap now. I want to thank especially Pam Johnson, who was our flautist this evening, Sue Ray Hughes, our accompanist, and Jen Dean Olson, who led the choir. They were all magnificent, and we thank them so much. It's your turn to sing out. We call this our Moravian National Anthem. Sing Hallelujah, Praise the Lord. We're going to sing the first and second verse of Sing Hallelujah, Praise the Lord, which is found hymn number 543. Of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I'd like you to begin with the Asiti Amen. They'll sing it once through, and then we ask that you sing it the second time around.